carries on from last week. Because our theme today is messenger of the gospel. Now last week, the Christian church around the world celebrated Pentecost Sunday. And of course that is the anniversary of the birth of the church. The day when the Holy Spirit came and breathed life into the first believers and has continued to this day to breathe fire into the church. So the first question that we need to answer is, who was the true messenger of the church? Who was this messenger of the gospel? The answer is, of course, the Holy Spirit. Now, let me explain a little bit about the Trinity in all of this. So we have God the Father, and he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to carry out his work of redemption and salvation. And we celebrated that at Easter not that long ago. I know it seems as if it's a long time ago, but it's actually not that long ago. Now, when Jesus went back to be with his Father in heaven, when we have the ascension, and Jesus went back into heaven, and the disciples were kind of left, and we read in the Bible that they kind of went and hid somewhere because they were very frightened. It must have been a very difficult 10 or so days that they were, as it were, on their own. And they were very frightened. The Roman authorities were after them. So were the Jewish authorities. It was quite a dangerous time. But they went and they hid in a little, they hid, I think, somewhere to stay safe. But then Peter got told to go and preach. And what happened was that when Jesus went back to be with his Father in heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit. Today, he sent the Holy Spirit to start putting fire in the belly of those first believers so that they had the power, the knowledge, the courage to start building the church, the first church. And today, Jesus continues to work through the Holy Spirit. So while Jesus is the head of the church, the Holy Spirit is continuing his work in the world today to continue to blow energy, to blow his will into the church and to put fire into the church. And the Holy Spirit has continued down throughout the centuries to breathe life and energy into the church, even in its lowest points. And there have been, throughout history, some very low points. When things happened that we look back at now, such as the Crusades, for example, and we think, that wasn't very Christian behaviour. That wasn't very good. But the Holy Spirit continued to keep the church alive, to give believers the will to go on, the Christian power from within them that kept the church going. Now, the church today is under increasing pressure and threat from the outside world. It is well known that there is widespread and intense, the numbers are quite horrendous when you look at them, persecution in many parts of the world. Thousands of people a year are being killed for their faith and because they are Christian. And if we go into particularly parts of Africa, parts of Asia, where the Islamic faith is, where Hinduism is, like in India, we see a lot of persecution and a lot of people are dying. But there's a smugness. We can get quite smug in this country because we can think, oh, well, that's abroad. I don't need to worry too much. But, however, the church and Christians in what were traditionally Christian countries, i.e. the Western world, are now also coming under increasing pressure to conform to the world, and that includes Britain. It includes the UK. Over the last 100 years or so, there has been many people have immigrated, come, migrated into Britain, and they've brought, and particularly into areas such as London and Birmingham, Manchester is another one, I think Leeds might be as well. And in fact, it's now home, Britain's now home to Britain from all over the world, whose background comes from all over the world. And many of you, your family backgrounds are not in Britain, they are in other countries. But that has also meant that we've had an influx of people from many different faiths, including Islam, Judaism, and Hinduism. Sikhs, another one. And the list could go on. So now, Christianity is only one of many religious voices in Britain. It is no longer the dominant voice. And I don't know about the circles that you work in, but increasingly, I am hearing around the time of Ramadan that we're not having a meeting that month because Muslims are fasting. I know at work there was a message went round, to a general message went round, asking managers to beware of long meetings and long days because Islamic members of their team might be fasting. Something that we probably wouldn't have heard even as short ago as 10 years ago. But we are hearing that now. And as I say, one organisation that I particularly go to actually called off their meeting in Ramadan. And so we all were kind of, we didn't have the meeting because it was Ramadan. The church also has to contend with the rising secular and atheist movements, who are not only aiming to keep religion out of the public sphere, but are aiming to challenge the validity of religion. I just want to say a little bit more about the new atheists. Now, it used to be that if you were an atheist, well, that was fine. They would respect our views, we'd respect theirs. That was fine. Unfortunately, now, it's not like that. Because what the new people like Richard Dawkins are aiming to do is to not respect our point of view, our beliefs. He wants to wipe them out and enforce his beliefs on us. So it's almost quite evangelical in its kind of focus, because it's aiming to get rid of religion and not respecting people of religion. And I would argue that in many ways, he's actually doing exactly what he criticises religious people for doing. So let's read now our verses for today. So I'd like us to read 1 Peter 3, and we're going to read verses 8 and 9, and then we're going to read 15 and 16 as our passage for today. So let's read those. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So, what have we got here? This passage is very, very relevant for today's church, particularly with the pressures that we are getting from outside. In the first part of the letter, Peter is talking about our attitude in church. To be kind, to be gentle, to not be nasty to someone who's nasty to us, and instead to bless people rather than being nasty back. And verse 8 talks about life in the church. We must be Christ-like towards each other. We should show love towards each other. The church is the community that allows each of us to grow, deeper, develop and deepen our Christian faith and love of Christ. It's the one place that we can all come into and not worry about talking about Jesus. We don't have to worry that someone's going to say, you shouldn't be saying that, or that's not right. Or we might talk about the finer points, but as a whole, nobody coming into this building needs to fear about talking about Jesus. And that's not the same case. That is not the case if you go out somewhere else. You have to be very careful, particularly if you go into a group of people that might be work, it might be a club, it might be a walking group you go into where there's people who don't share your faith. This is the one place that you can feel safe in, talking about Christianity. And because of that, it's the one place that you can grow. Because we have teaching, we worship in church. So we can grow. We can develop our faith. We can feel secure and safe. We can pray to Jesus. We don't have to worry that there's an atheist around that is going to spring up and put us down. It's a safe place. It's a place where we grow. But we do, as Christians, all of us, have to go out into the world. And all of our lives are different. Some of you might be at college. Some of you might be in paid work. Some of you might do voluntary work. You might be involved in social groups. You might be involved in groups that go walking. You have your friends and families who may not share your faith. You have probably quite a big sphere of people that you know who are not necessarily Christians. Might be the people you live with. Not all of the people I live with, I know some of them are, but not all of the people that I share the flats I live in with have a Christian faith. The only place that I can be certain that I share a Christian faith with is actually in church. But as I say, we do have to go out. And as Christians, we need to be different. Because if we've got Christ in our belly, we've got the Holy Spirit working in us, we will be different. And I've heard so many testimonies through my Christian life of people that just say, there was just something different about him or her. Can't put my finger on it, but there was just something different. And I like that different bit of them. I like that bit that's different, and there's something that attracts me to that person. So the first thing we need to do is to love each other, love other people for who they are. One of the big mistakes I think Christians do make is that they will do an event to try and get people evangelized, but actually the real trick is to just love them for who they are. And eventually, they will start to see Christ in you. And they'll start to ask you questions. But love each other people outside the church for who they are. Because they are loved by God and they are special. Be prepared to love those that oppose you. That can be hard, I know. It can be challenging. It may be hard to love someone that is trying to push Islam. I don't know who it was, I've completely forgotten who it was that said it, but they were mentioning church, Jesus, and someone who was Islamic came and said, why are you talking about Christianity? You'll all be converting to Islam. So we've got to be prepared to love those people, to love that woman who thinks they're going to be all converting to Islam. And that is hard. I know it's hard. It's a challenge. Because the human part of us, the sinful part of us wants to rebel and say, no, you're going to be converting to Christianity because that's who we are. That's the human nature. But what the Holy Spirit inside us wants us to do is to love that person, not to rebel back. Be prepared to share and defend Christ. Now, once you've actually loved, and as I've said, these people, if you've done it correctly, will come and start asking you questions. And you're going to have to be prepared to share why you're different, to share your faith. And I know Ruth is trying to get a list together of people who can be trained on how to share their faith. Really seriously think about going on Ruth's list. She's out with the youth at the moment, but she is trying to get her list, and really think about going on that list to learn how to share your faith, because it's important. Now I really want to plug Ruth's endeavours here. you will eventually see the labours, see the rewards, the fruits of your labours. It may not happen in a few days, because people nowadays don't just convert. I remember a church some years ago, and on a Friday morning, they had a breakfast morning, and all the homeless came. I think they gave them a shower. I'm not sure if they could wash their clothes, but certainly they had a breakfast. And over time, they got to know these homeless people. And there was one man. It took a year of just gently loving that man, not talking about Christ, not talking about Jesus. They just showed love. They gave him a breakfast every Friday morning, talked to him about the general things you talk about. They got to know him. After about a year, this homeless man started to ask them questions and more questions. And eventually, they were able to sit down and share the message of the gospel. They were able to be messengers of the gospel to this man. I was very privileged to be able to eventually go to this man's baptism, which was quite interesting as well, because he had a back problem, so they had to be really, really careful when they baptized him. And I think we had to go the other way to normal to kind of protect his back. But it took a long time. Didn't happen overnight. Took a long time. Took a lot of patience, a lot of love, and a lot of work, actually. Because there were people out in the kitchens doing the breakfasts. Okay, they weren't what we would regard as actively evangelizing, but they were evangelizing because they were doing the work, the groundwork that was necessary to allow these people to come and get to know Christians and in their own time come to Christ. Yes, we will have people who are against Christ. Yes, there are issues in the world that Christians are fighting, and we need to be aware of them. But I believe the Holy Spirit is in this world, still wanting to bring people to us. And the Holy Spirit wants to use us today to be the messengers of the gospel. And as things get more difficult, and I think they are going to get more difficult, the Holy Spirit will be with us, and he will still ask us to be the messengers of the gospel. So let's have a prayer as we go into communion. Lord, we know that there are those who just simply don't know you. They don't know what the church is all about. They've never been taught about the church. And I pray that we can be messengers of the gospel. I pray, Lord, for all the Islamic people who've had visions of you and who have come to know you as their Lord and Saviour. Give us the words of wisdom. Give us the will to talk to those people. And Lord, give us the courage and the strength to stay strong in our faith when we meet those who are opposed to your church. Help us, Lord, to be a messenger that doesn't retaliate, that doesn't pay back nasty comments with nasty comments, but just loves those people. Give us the strength. Give us the wisdom. Give us the courage to be the messengers of God that you want us to be. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit fills each and every one of us as we go out into our daily lives and meet the lost sheep, Lord. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.